Bible says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof in Leviticus 25 and 10. And this is Wynn Greer coming to you today with the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located at 1128 Baird's Creek Road, and we'd love for you to come and visit with us at any time. We appreciate the church, and we appreciate them sponsoring the program. And I'd like to say good morning to everybody, and good morning to Dave. And
hey, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, Wynn.
Good.
I hope you are.
Yes, and Noah's here in the studio this morning as well. And so it's just a dreary old day out there, but that's all right.
Kind of is. It seems like on the rainy days, I feel like I can get more done.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't know. Maybe you don't daydream as much.
Maybe. I feel like the world's on pause when it's raining. Yeah. So I can get done whatever I need
to get done. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But I'm not complaining. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I always think about that when people complain about the weather. I think, you know, well, who made the weather? And so you complain about that. Well, who are you complaining about? You're complaining about what the Lord's doing, but everybody does it. So I'm not going to say much about that. But anyway, it is good to be here today. And last week we had Brother Rick Cornejo with us and Veterans Day, talked about that, and hope everybody had a good Veterans Day. And on last Thursday, I was a little bit under the weather, but I'm feeling better now. So I missed my free meal.
Oh, man.
Didn't go anywhere.
Not even on Monday after that?
No.
Because Golden Corral did a free meal on Monday.
Well, we've got a revival this week, so I couldn't have went last night either. So
Busy.
Anyway.
Well, wait now. Did y'all have one starting this past weekend? Is that when you started?
Yes.
Okay.
And so while we're talking about that, I'll invite everybody out. Did you have that? I will not do that, but revival this week, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, every night at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We started last night. Real good service, real good spirit there. We'd like to invite everybody out, and if you can't come out and be with us, pray for us. And we had a really good weekend and a really good start last night. And so
that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Mount Lebanon, I don't know if we said it or not, but they are the sponsor of Blessings of Liberty.
Yes.
And you're the pastor over there.
Right. And we are located just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And that's on Baird's Creek Road. Most everybody knows where the little 9-hole golf course is, just outside of Boone, just a few miles. So,
do you ride a cart when you play there?
No.
You don't?
I haven't played there in
you'd
a couple
feel,
years,
you'd
I guess.
You feel pretty slack if you get a cart there. Yeah.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into our proverb for today, which is going to lead into what I'm going to talk about today. If I was given a title, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but I would say that I'm going to talk about today better than gold. Better than gold. And Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 16, the Bible says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. And we always read a proverb out of the book of Proverbs to correlate into whatever day of the month it is. And it's the 16th. So we come out of Proverbs chapter number 16. And I was read it several times yesterday. Nothing really jumped off the page at me. And then last night before I went to bed, I read it a couple of times. I was thinking about, you know, what's going to be my proverb for tomorrow. And then this morning I got up and I read it again. And when I got to verse number 16, that gold just jumped off the page at me. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And there's a lot of interest in gold. There's a lot of advertisements. I don't know. Is there any here on WATA about
gold? Yeah, we have gold. What is his name? Jim at Gold Spa.
Gold Spa.
Yeah.
A lot of talk about gold. A lot of advertising.
It's on the way up.
Yeah.
People are investing in gold.
It's in the news.
Yep.
It's people talk about it.
Well, in our we used to be backed by gold, the U.S.
Once upon a time, which would be a good subject for a radio broadcast, but that's not. You talked about the gold standard.
Yeah, the gold
standard. Our money was valuable in relation to how much gold was worth.
It wasn't so hypothetical.
Yeah. And now our money is just pieces of paper, and we trust each other and we trust the government that it's going to be worth something, but it's not actually backed by gold, if my understanding is correct. But on TV, you know, and on the radio, you hear That ball-headed guy, Jay Gordon Liddy, is that his name?
Yeah, I think so,
I think
yeah.
That's it, and he says, gold, you know, and so I thought of that. That's actually the voice that came to my mind when I seen that word gold this morning, but it's supposed to be a hedge against inflation and the falling dollar and all of this, and it's just in the past year or two, it is almost doubled. I think yesterday it was selling for $1,350, something like that. It's went up. And, of course, if a person had invested in that, they would almost double or triple their money at some times. But, you know, so gold, what's it worth? There's a lot of now a thing that's going on, ladies. You know, there's always been something on the side, all kinds of parties down through the years. Sell Avon,
Mary Kay,
Tupperware, yeah. Pocketbooks,
Premier jewelry,
cookware,
yeah.
Everything. You know, the thing now is gold parties.
Oh, really?
And a lot of ladies, I've heard, you know, different ones talking, and they're having parties where you can bring your gold and sell it and get pretty good for it. I've known some people that have taken some gold, earrings, jewelry, whatever. So gold is a hot topic, we might say. But the Bible says there's something better than gold, and that's what I want to talk about today. Read that verse again. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? So we could act, wisdom and understanding go together. We could actually say better than gold and silver. And so there's a little saying that says a fool and his gold are soon departed. And, you know, you might have something, but if you're not wise with it, you won't have it very long. And if you have gold and silver and you don't have wisdom and understanding, it won't help you much, because somebody will come along and either get it from you, dupe you out of it, trick you out of it. You'll spend it foolishly, unwisely, all of these things. But if you have wisdom and understanding, according to the Bible, what we're looking at this morning, just this verse, you'll be fine. You can make it. If you have wisdom and understanding, it's actually better than if you had gold or silver. And so that verse says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? And what got me thinking about this was I was saying about the elections. You know, I've not said very much about it in the past few weeks.
That's true, you haven't.
No, I haven't, and I didn't even say that much about it to begin with. But I was saying about that, you know, it seems to be that the tide is turning in a better direction, I would say. At least there's a lot of good talk coming out of Washington. I was listening to the news last night, and one of the main mouthpieces for the Obama administration, he was saying some things that just amazed me about reinstituting or furthering the tax cuts. You know, they talked about doing away with, and now it was Axelrod. He said, no, we're going to do it, and we need to do it indefinitely. And, you know, I thought, my goodness, that's singing a different tune.
So those were W tax cuts, right?
Yeah.
George W. Bush.
Talking about the Bush tax cuts that they had vilified, and, you know, we're going to do away with that. And now they're coming along after the election, and, you know, we're going to keep those. And so it seems to be that the tide is turning a little bit. But I got to thinking about that. One election is not going to change our country, because our country, the problems that we have and the obstacles that we're facing is so great. Turning our country around in the right direction would be like turning the Titanic around with tablespoons, you know, hanging off the side and trying. I mean, it's a huge, huge, huge undertaking. And the debt is just so astronomical that it's hard for us to even imagine how many trillions of dollars that we are in debt.
$14 trillion. If you spent on, and let's start in 1776, I heard this. If you spent $11 million on like every day of 1776, all, and then every day of every sequential year, all the way up to today, if you spend $11 million every day, you still wouldn't have $1 trillion. That wouldn't be $1 trillion.
Right.
If you'd spent $11 million every day.
Yeah.
And we owe $14 trillion.
Right. And I can't even imagine that.
Is that? That was, yeah.
It's
no,
just,
it's really hard to imagine.
How?
I don't know.
People say, you know, how did I get this credit card in debt? Well, how did our nation get this much? I mean, it is just ridiculous. And so I've been thinking about that. I was thinking about the election. It seems like, you know, the tide's turning just a little bit in a little bit better direction. Mr. Obama has a debt reduction bipartisan commission. You know, they came out a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, this is what we're going to have to do to get our house in financial order. And they had all these cuts we're going to have to make, and some's going to have to give. We're either going to have cuts, or if we keep spending like we're spending, then we're going to just spend ourselves into bankruptcy. So something is going to have to give. Of course, how it is in Washington, they say, you know, do what you have to do and make the cuts, but just don't cut any of my programs. Don't cut any of my benefits that I have. You know, don't cut the hand off that feeds me. And so it's hard to get anything done in Washington. A lot of good talk, but that is not the answer to our country. But on a local level, yesterday, of course, yesterday's Monday, I got the Sunday Watauga Democrat. It started coming out.
Yeah, they have a Sunday issue.
Sunday
now.
Edition. Now. Yeah. And it's had a couple of real good articles in there on the front page, and this got me thinking about it as well. One of them said, this is in Sunday's Watauga Democrat, came out on the 14th, said 2010 to date, 314 homes and businesses facing foreclosure. And there's an article in there about, you know, in Watauga County, what's going on. On a local level, you know, we can talk about $14 trillion in debt. That means nothing to me, really, because that, you know, where do you even start trying to figure that out? But on a local level, and how it affects you and me and my children and their future, this sort of brings it home to where we are in the last decade. In Watauga County, the foreclosure is up an increase of 630%. I think in the year 2000, they had about 43 foreclosures. And then this year to date, there's over 300 foreclosures. And by the end of the year, there'll be more than that. Last week or the week before in the Winston-Salem Journal, there was an article in there about across the state of North Carolina about foreclosures being up 188%. And so when foreclosures are happening, people are losing their homes, people are losing their businesses, not just in North Carolina, but nationwide. And this has gone on now for a couple of years, been this downward trend. They say, you know, oh, we're not in a recession and, you know, things are getting better. And, you know, no matter what the government says, no matter what Hollywood says, no matter what the newspapers say, there's this unflinching thing called reality that'll point its finger in your face and say, that's not true. Here's the real picture. And so there was an article about the foreclosures. There was another article on the state of the real estate market in Watauga County. It said real estate market stabilizing, but people just aren't buying. Is that good news? I don't think that, you know,
can't be good news.
I know people just aren't buying, and of course, if you're in real estate, the only way you're going to make it and stay in business is if people buy real estate. But I thought the first paragraph, there was a gentleman, Mr. Harvey, was quoted, who said, suggest adding the letter I to the word realty and creating reality, you know, how it really, really is. And so no matter what the government says, no matter what talk shows, the news, reality is reality. What is really going on? For example, I talked to somebody a while back, and this would be a very typical example. You talk about, well, are things getting better, things getting worse? Common sense. And we need to use a little common sense in this day and time. Are things going to get better? Well, eventually they might. They might not. I think we need to brace for the fact and the wisdom and understanding that it might not get, I don't think it'll ever get back to where it was. But just for example, I had a conversation with an individual a while back, and very common situation that they were in, a lot of people have found themselves in. The gentleman told me, he said, last winter, he had to borrow money, credit card, credit line, whatever, I don't know, it doesn't matter, had to borrow money to get through the winter because there was a lack of work to do. A lot of people on unemployment, things of that nature. And then he said this summer, what he has done is been working some, but just to get himself out of the hole of last winter.
Trying to pay off last winter.
Trying to pay back. And working, and that's been hard to do. Here you come down, August, September, October, you've not paid off from where you borrowed from last winter. And here we are on the threshold of this winter. Common sense tells us that you can't live like that. You can't go on like that. You can never get ahead like that. And so we ask ourselves, in spite of the economy and everything that's going on, is it going to get better this winter? Probably not. Probably be a repeat of the same thing. And so with all that in mind, the Bible says wisdom and understanding is better than silver and gold, because wisdom and understanding is something that can last you your whole lifetime. If you get wisdom and understanding and you apply the principles in your life, it can never be depleted. It can never be taken away, because wisdom and understanding always finds a way, always sees a way. And the real deep teaching of this is because we're seeking someone higher than ourselves, and that's the Lord. How do you get wisdom and understanding? You look to God. The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if you have gold and silver, how long is that going to last you? Well, that would depend on how much you've got. Some people have got so much that I don't guess they'll ever run out. And they'll have some left over for their children and their grandchildren. But now they are the small minority. And
MC Hammer had a lot of money.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that had a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, the Bible says in Proverbs, in another place, it says that riches make themselves wings and fly away as an eagle toward heaven. That's in the book of Proverbs, but I can't remember exactly where it. But riches can be gone. There's a lot of people that are no doubt listening to the radio broadcast this morning, and a few years ago, maybe in a 401, maybe in a retirement plan, maybe in the stock market, something along those lines, you had a lot more on paper than you have today. So silver and gold can get gone. Depends on how much you've got. You know, they're saying on the TV and on the commercials, buy gold, but most people are concerned about buying groceries.
Yeah.
And, you know, how are we going to make it in the days ahead? Inflation. There's a lot of talk now about inflation coming, and inflation means simply that the dollars that you have are not going to buy what they used to buy. It's going to take more to get the same or less. If the, for example, a couple years ago, maybe a little more than that now, when gas went to $4 a gallon, that hurt a lot of people. It called inflation, whatever. I think there's funny business going on there with the economy and the election and everything. But anyway, no matter what the cost, that hurt a lot of people. It became really hard to do the same things that you were doing all along. And so inflation affects the legality of it. People say, buy gold, buy gold. Well, a question I have is, all right, let's say I scrape together and buy me an ounce of gold and the economy falls all to pieces. Where am I going to get change for it? Are you going to go to the grocery store and, you know, get a basket full of groceries? Do you know it's illegal to buy and sell in any other form of money than dollars? Like you couldn't go to the store and say, you know, I got a bag of silver here. You know, you can't do that legally. You're not supposed to be able to do that.
Trade? Now,
you can
barter. You're not supposed to trade?
You can trade. You can barter. I could buy it off of you, but as far as going to the store and saying, you know, the dollar's not worth anything, but I've got, you know, an ounce of silver here.
Yeah.
That's illegal. Not supposed to deal in any commerce. What is the word for money?
Currency.
Currency. That's the word I'm looking for. Not supposed to deal in any currency other than the dollar. So all of these things, if money made you happy, then all rich people would be happy and all poor people would be sad. But reality is that that is not the way. There's a lot of people that have a lot of money in this world that are the saddest, most pitiful. Yes, they've got everything that you could want physically speaking. And I think about, and I'm not picking on the fellow, but Tiger Woods and all that mess with him. And I think to myself, you know, his golf game has gone all to pieces and he's not on top of the world. He's not number one anymore. But what he really lost, he lost what is most precious in his life. He lost his wife and he lost his children. And those precious children and the opportunity to be a father and to see them grow up. And, I mean, you can have money and riches and all of these things, and we could go down a long list of celebrities and sports stars that are in rehab and their lives are just a total, complete wreck and mess. So let me tell you something today. There's something better than gold. And and the great thing about it is that it's free. You know, you don't have to pay to get wisdom and understanding. I promote every week the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters. Read a chapter a day. And it's better than gold and silver, wisdom and understanding. I'll give you just a few short things in summary or closing today. Something that's better than gold is a right relationship with God. And I found a little thing years ago that said how to get joy. J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Salvation is better than gold. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Do I have a real and a living relationship with the God of heaven through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I have salvation? Do I know if I died that I'd go to heaven? That's better than gold. There's been many a rich man laid on his deathbed and said, what a fool I've been. I have no hope. I'm scared. What's going to happen to me? But there's been a many of a poor saint that has laid on their deathbed and said, you know what? I've got something better to go to. And so there's things that are better than gold and silver.
Not to say that money is inherently evil. Do you believe that?
No, no. You know, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil, but no, it's not. You know, it takes it, I've said before, it takes three books to run the church. It takes the book, the Bible, and the songbook, and the checkbook. You know, you just can't function without it. But in our society, there's such an emphasis on gold and silver, money. We think that we have to have money to be happy, but there's something better. There's a right relationship with him. Jesus first, others second. Service to others. Helping others. Matthew chapter 22, a man came to Jesus and said, which is the greatest commandment? He said, the first, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. He said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And investing our lives in the lives of others and helping them and being a blessing and having a church family and all of these things, it brings joy to our lives. It's something that gold and silver can't buy. And what a great relationship. And then yourself last. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so seeking the Lord and finding his will for your life. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 8 is another verse that goes along with our first one that said in verse 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. And if you back up to verse number 8, it says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Better is a little with righteousness to have everything in the world and things not be right or it not be right. And so I was thinking about it this morning. Most of the people listening to the radio broadcast today had parents and grandparents that grew up with far less than we have, but they were far happier than we are. You don't have to have a bunch of this world stuff to be happy, but you do have to have a right relationship with the Lord. And it's better to have a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. There's nothing wrong with learning how to live with less. In fact, I find myself, you know, I was talking about the Democrat and the businesses going out. I used to have a business. I don't have a business anymore. We couldn't make it. The economy just killed us. Started at a bad time. And I like to tell people, you know, at first when I started my business, that, boy, we were doing good. We were paying everybody on time and buying product and selling product and paying our taxes and had employees. And we just were doing so good. And then the second month rolled around and things changed. You know, that's that's exaggerating a little bit, but it's not off much.
Yeah.
It was an uphill battle pretty much the last year and a half. And we just could not make it. But I found that there's actually more liberty with less. There's more freedom in my life than there was with all the stuff that comes along with it. So in the end, thank the Lord. He knows what he's doing. And our hope and our happiness needs to be in other things than these physical things. So I'm glad there's something better than gold. I found a little something I wanted to share with you this morning before we go off the air. Dave, I'm sure you've read about this. All the uproar about the flying and the body scanners. Have you read anything about that?
I have to say no. But I mean,
you know what I'm talking about.
I know I know the body scanners that you see underneath clothing. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And people don't like that.
No. And there's a huge uproar just in the past couple of weeks.
Have they installed more of them?
They're installed. I flew back in July. I seen one in Charlotte, but it wasn't being used mm-hmm. yet. But now they're using them, and people are revolting. And because what the TSA has done, they've said, okay, if you don't want to go through that, because they're saying this high dose of radiation could cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And pilots and flight attendants, they don't want to go through it every time they get on a plane. And,
right.
You know, so they're saying no, and passengers are saying no. And the TSA has said, well, if you don't do that, you're going to be patted down graphically, you know. Invasive, going to touch every part of your body.
Yeah.
And there's an uproar against it. But I found a quote from Frederick Douglass. It said, find out just what people will submit to, and you have found out the exact amount of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them, and these will continue until they are resisted with either words or blows or both. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. And I thought that was pretty interesting that there's this outrage of the government intruding into our private lives. And you're guilty until proven innocent if you go to travel across this country. So anyway, thank you for listening in. Come be with us in Revival every night through Friday at 7 o'clock at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Wayne. You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.